All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the Joker movie. A couple more people from the Beast Game have seen it. And we're going to go to the man that you might have seen him playing the cousin on the early 2000s hit ABC TV show, My Wife and Kids, Gangsta Mike. How do you feel about the show? How do you feel about the Joker?
I'm trying to understand how or why this movie is so hyped up the way it is, because I watched this movie and I'm still trying to figure out what the big deal is. I did not see a transcendent performance. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a movie that made me go, oh, wow, This is top 10 easily ever. Because these are things I've heard people say. To literally say that Joaquin Phoenix is hands down the best Joker ever is such a disrespect to Heath Ledger. You might as well walk to his grave and piss on it.
Well,
I am still trying to understand how a man who 3/4 of the movie, and you can tell me if I'm lying, Barry, was either laughing or dancing. And I'd argue the dancing was the best part.
You are 100% correct.
What am I missing? What the hell was so great about this movie?
That it was 2 hours.
Seriously, the movie could have been the trailer in the last 20 minutes.
Correct.
Short film would have been fucking brilliant.
Correct. This would be a YouTube short. You give this 20 minutes on YouTube and kind of hit all the more important story beats that gets beat up, a relationship with his mom, he loses his job, cheats people on the train, his mom lies to him about who his father is, that sets him off, then he kills somebody that he idolizes. That's it. Those are the important story beats of the Joker movie. And
wait, that's it?
Yes.
That's it. And my question that I keep bringing up is, how did you not already figure that out from the trailer? Because literally, the 2-minute and 30-second trailer is basically the movie.
Correct.
What?
Like, Keith, I'm not over-exaggerating. I have run through this in my mind nonstop since I watched this. When I tell you that you could literally take the trailer up until... This is spoilers now, right? We don't care.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Up until he kills his mother, you could take the trailer up to that part and the rest of the movie, which is like maybe 20 minutes. And literally, that's the movie.
All right. So for Keith and James, having not seen the movie, again, what I described is the main portion of the movie. The whole thing with Zazie Beetz, it's to throw you off from the fact that he's just delusional. He doesn't really have a relationship with her. She lives in his building, and he just has these fascinations, lucid dreams about her. That is it. With his mom has a problem. That she was once crazy. She used to once work for the Waynes. She just, for whatever reason, believes for Arthur, Thomas Wayne is his father. And
what?
Thomas Wayne needs to pay up. So when you see that in the trailer, somehow he approaches Thomas Wayne. Thomas Wayne is trying to run for mayor. Kind of just becomes like the Hunger Games. The Joker kills some people. People that he killed work for the Wayne Company. Sets people off that rich versus poor. If you, again, look at this like New York during the 80s, that New York during the 80s were a chaotic time. Thomas Wayne wants to bring some stability. The Joker is this, the antithesis of stability. And it all converges at the end of the movie where he has this psychotic break, kills his mother. He says that killing makes him feel good. It's the only thing that makes him feel good is to kill people. Thing with Robert De Niro is that Robert De Niro plays a Johnny Carson-esque type person. He wanted to kill himself on a TV show, but he winds up killing Robert De Niro. That is the Joker movie.
That's it. Even the Zazie Beetz character. I don't even feel like they developed the delusional relationship enough to where I was like, it was grounded or anything. Like, it was like one or two visions. And suddenly you realize that he's fucking delusional.
Yeah.
The whole first hour is a complete waste of time.
So with Zazie Beetz, the first time that you meet her, they live in the same building. His first illusion is the fact that she basically says the elevator sucks. And then she makes a gun reference to her head. And then he starts stalking her.
This doesn't make sense. That's not the fucking Joker. Like, dude, what the?
Keith.
That's not the Joker. You know what?
In this movie.
Let me just say something. I haven't seen the movie or anything like that. But
you need to see it.
I will. But I've stood behind. I even like Jared Leto's Joker performance.
What?
I liked it. Every one of those characters were the fucking Joker. That dude don't sound like the fucking Joker. He's dreaming up women. Like, what the fuck?
He is.
I gotta see this.
It is Taxi Driver with a Joker spin on it.
Oh my God.
That is what it is.
Man, I'm trying to tell you. I have all day watched people keep talking about how great this movie is. Oh, it's an 8 out of 10. I'd have gave it a 10 if it was more killing. That's your only problem with this. Joaquin Phoenix, to me, this was an acting class, if anything. He's practicing. This doesn't even look like it took effort to act this role.
Well, what I had brought up during the original podcast is if you see Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp plays Jack Sparrow, the equivalent to that is Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. So it's like, how much do you want to sit around watching somebody maybe ham it up for the cameras, ad-lib a little bit, then try to play Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver?
How's this Oscar worthy?
His acting?
I need someone to explain this to me. How is this remotely all even an Oscar consideration?
His acting?
You like this, Matt?
Matt did like his acting. Oh. He liked his acting, but he didn't like the movie.
I liked the acting. I hated the movie. Just like Mike said, the first hour or however long the movie is up until the last 20 minutes, I'm like, what was that movie where the guy is crazy the whole time, but it's portrayed? Was it Beautiful Mind?
And also, what the heck was that Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Shutter Island? And it also,
Shutter Island is better.
Yeah, it also had mentioned the Falling Down movie.
Yeah, it's basically that.
Again, everything goes wrong for Arthur. Poor Arthur. Arthur just breaks.
This is literally that for like an hour and a half. Oh my God. Matt, you hit it on the head on the first podcast too. Had this come out 10 years prior, I swear people would not like this movie as much as they swear they do.
No, not at all. Not at all. This would have been some shit that you would have seen on Netflix where watch if you are bored. That's what it would be. Watch if you are bored. Not highly suggested, not top rated, not trending. Watch if you are bored. And that would probably be the only movie on that list.
So for Keith and James, do you have any questions?
Were they intimating that the Joker going on his little psychotic break led to Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And you see that
again. That's exactly what they showed. And I hated every bit of that scene.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so, but he killed the people that worked for the Wayne Company. He works a job as a clown. One of the people that he works with sells him a gun. The city's getting chaotic. While
well,
he
stole the sign at the beginning. And he tried to chase the dudes down and he couldn't get the sign back.
Yeah, so.
So then he ends up buying a gun.
When he is being a clown for children at a hospital, the gun falls out. He gets fired from his job. And then he blames the person that sold him the gun.
Well, it's a prop.
Yeah, so he says it's a prop. And it's like, well, why would you bring a gun? And then they go into the fact that his boss allowed him to work for somebody else or helped him get another job. They fire him. And then his mom lies to him. He just believes that he's the funniest comedian in the world. Robert De Niro sees a clip of him, laughs at him, brings him on the show, or wants to bring him on the show. So part of that, I guess the second hour of the movie is him either practicing, dancing around, laughing, looking at clips of the show, acting like somebody is coming out from behind the curtain. So again, I keep hitting home that if you've seen the movie Taxi Driver or that movie Falling Down,
that's a better Joker movie than
it is those two movies. It's really difficult to understand, like Mike is saying, why people are going crazy, losing their minds.
I get you liking the movie, but like literally saying that this is easily one of the top 10 movies ever created.
I don't see that. Star Wars.
And I would say there's one or two people, so I think it's clickbait, but when it's everyone.
All right, so I'm going to break down some demographics. There are only about maybe at most 20% of Twitter's users in the United States. That is not a guesstimation. It is fact. And if people are posting this stuff on Twitter, this is all bots. This is all people from overseas trying to hype stuff up for whatever reason. This movie does not deserve any Oscar buzz. It does not deserve a standing ovation. It does not deserve people's projecting themselves, projecting their emotions. I feel so bad for Arthur, or the fact that, again, with every movie now has to have this social message or this social message undertone to it. One person can inspire a movement. Pretty much every movie right now, one person can inspire a movement. Arthur inspires a movement by killing people on the train.
I think that's the only reason why it is what it is right now, is that people for whatever reason, genuinely feel like that in life now. They feel like, oh, I'm not important. I should be important, or I should matter to someone. And because I don't, I almost feel like they're looking at the Joker like this is a manifestation of what I wish I could do or what I want to do.
Which is why, I guess, alert.
You got to beef up security and have all these people and all this other stuff in the movie. That's why all that stuff happens. Because there's someone in America who's going to see this and says, I'm Arthur Fleck.
Yeah.
And see this as an answer. Well, no, it's a bad movie. Call it what it is. I'm still trying to understand how you dare use the word transcendent on this performance.
It's Jack Sparrow. It's let this person do what they want in front of the camera with a loose script.
Like, he literally danced down some steps. That's not acting.
And it's like a 2-minute scene. That's like a 2-minute scene.
That requires coordination. Thank you very much. Look at those steps. He could have fell. He could have fell.
I wish he would have.
Do you want him to have a broken arm, Mike and Barry? Is that what it is?
If he would have fell, stood up with a broken arm and still shot Robert De Niro, I would have felt a lot better about that scene. He's just dancing down steps. He's three quarters of the movie is just him laughing. It's not even dialogue.
Pay attention to the trailer where you just kind of see him doing his little loop-de-loo type stuff. That is it.
That's it. Here's an example of transcendent to me. History of Violence. Have you seen that?
Yes.
William Hurt. Did he or did he not have one fucking scene in that movie where he was in the dark and he gave such a good performance? Like, I really thought this dude would fucking kill me if I was sitting across from him too. That is transcendent.
Yes.
Denzel Washington in Training Day. I literally forgot I was watching Denzel Washington. I thought this was some black dude from LA that I was like, who's going to kill him? Because somebody's going to get this dude. He's fucked up. That's transcendent. I literally forgot that Heath Ledger was acting when he played the Joker. I thought I was literally watching the fucking Joker. That is transcendent. What Joaquin Phoenix did is not transcendent. What the fuck was so great? Seriously, I need someone to explain.
Well,
to me.
Let me add another movie to your transcendent list. There Will Be Blood. Daniel Day-Lewis is in that movie.
I did see The Darkest Hour with that Churchill movie.
Yes, that is
and
a transcendent.
I forgot that was Gary Oldman I was watching. Completely understand what you guys are talking about.
I swear this is arguably the most overrated movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, if someone gave me a gift card and I paid with a gift card to go see it, I would be pissed that I wasted my gift card buying tickets to see this fucking movie. You
greatest movie ever.
Literally, you could watch this on
Netflix.
Stop
trolling, man.
It could have gone straight to Netflix.
Yes.
Short film, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I would have told you it was fucking brilliant.
Yes.
Best documentary ever. Social commentary, A+.
And I'm a Batman fan. Yes. So I'm not speaking from I'm brand new to this. No. I'm talking about, you used to watch the 60 TV show every day. Like, what is this?
Lesson about acting for a singular performance. This is just something that someone will show in acting school and say, look what this person does. This is supposed to be great. And you should not follow this. If you go to acting school, you will make mistakes and you will never be successful.
And that's the Beast Gang podcast. I don't even have a score for you right now because I'm still like, what?
Is that a zero, Mike?
I feel like your 4.5 and Matt's 4 are very generous.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've rated some bad movies high. So I'm
that sounds like
pretty
a
good
2 to me.
Sales. I'm just sounds like, oh my God, man. I actually saw people today, and this is like somebody that I genuinely follow because he's a sneakerhead like me. Literally said that this was better than The Dark Knight.
What?
What?
Are you fucking serious?
What?
I damn near unfollowed him. I did. I damn near unfollowed him too. Immediately. What? I was like, no, I can't follow your opinions ever again. What is this?
That is a lot of delusion.
Bullshit.
I mean, whatever you're smoking, take a page from Mike's book. Whatever you're smoking, that's some good stuff.
I'm trying to tell you. You must have smoked an ounce of it before you said that comment. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I have seen some stuff, and I can't wait now for when these Oscar nominations come out because I'm already betting he's going to be nominated. And at this point, I'm already like, I'm not even going to be surprised he wins.
And that is Warner Brothers marketing machine, marketing hype, trying to push.
Look, if I'm Leonardo DiCaprio, Gary Oldman, any of them, I'd be pissed.
If Black Panther can win,
give them an Oscar. And they gave Joaquin Phoenix this bullshit.
If Black Panther can win an Oscar, apparently Joaquin Phoenix can.
The most impressive thing I've seen in that movie might have been him crawling in that refrigerator.
That shit was pretty awesome. I was like, oh.
Okay. I was kind of impressed. It's like, well, you know, he lost 50 pounds, they said. So at one point in the movie, he literally crawls into a refrigerator and closes the door.
Yeah, the whole thing is that at some point he feels like he wants to kill himself. So he does things.
He takes out all the shelves in the refrigerator, all the shelves, the little drawers, and then he goes in there.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Is so sad, so upset, and then he's trying to live life that he just really feels like he wants to end life. So way that it tries to shift your perspective on what he's doing, which is, oh, he's going to kill himself at the end of it. That's why they keep talking about this is going to be the only Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, and then they kind of leave it open-ended.
He doesn't kill himself?
No, he does not kill himself because he kills Robert De Niro. He gets arrested. Someone hits the police car that he's in and pulls him out of it and then basically holds him up in the air just like he is Maximus.
Oh, he's Jesus or some shit.
He's Maximus from Gladiator and they carry him off.
Oh, don't forget he stands on the car though. He dances for a minute.
Yeah.
And wipes the big grin on his face with his blood.
Because again, he has to be inspiring the movement, so he has to have his moment of he felt so bad about people disrespecting him, people disregarding him. Now he is loved, he is adored, and he feels the love for the first time in his life.
Can you feel the love tonight? Joaquin Phoenix is talking about he's open to a sequel now, of course. So,
well, they left the movie open-ended.
No, I mean, I know. When the way it ended, I said, well, this told me sequel already.
What are they talking about? Who's he going to fight, though? Is he the real Joker?
You know where they're going to go. Even though the timeline would never make sense, they'll say it's a different universe because they already said that. And they'll work the Batman in somehow.
Super old because Bruce was young.
Okay, Matt. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce was probably, at least in the movie, it's like 9, 10.
Yeah.
He doesn't do his Batman thing until he's almost 30.
Yep. Well, I mean, Batman Begins, he's in college, technically, so he should be like 20-something, 21, 22.
No, he was late 20. He turned 30 once he put on the bat suit.
No, I'm just saying Batman Begins. He was still...
It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it.
They'll have Joaquin Phoenix come back, and they'll fast forward 20 years later, make him look a little older or some shit, and make it seem like the Joker's been around causing terror forever.
And then Bruce Wayne just has a chip on his shoulder because... Technically,
he's responsible for his parents getting killed.
A clown killed his parents. People dress up in clown masks. All that stuff that happens in the movie, the social justice aspect that one person can inspire a movement.
He says the Joker's line that he said to Robert De Niro's character, was Amory.
Yeah.
Shot him, he said, you get what you deserve. That's what dude said in the alley when he killed Bruce Wayne's parents. And that part doesn't make sense to me because if Thomas Wayne was running for mayor and he's such a big deal, why the hell was there not one security guard walking him out that fucking theater? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so the end of the movie...
Exactly.
The end of the movie for Keith, the whole city's in chaos. And somehow the Waynes are at the theater. They walk down the alley. Somebody that has a clown mask is sitting outside of the theater. See them walking down the alley. And then you get to see somebody walking behind Thomas Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
And then he turns around.
You deserve.
Bang. And then you get to see Martha Wayne, and somebody tries to grab the pearls. And then the pearls drop to the ground.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember the pearls.
And then bang. And then you get this slow pulling out shot of little Bruce Wayne. Slow pulling out. Still pulling out.
Oh, for God's sake.
Still pulling out. Cue sad music. Pulling out, pulling out, pulling out.
This is fucking dumb.
Insane.
Best social commentary drama ever for a superhero.
I want you to understand that one person can inspire a movement. That is every movie that will be coming out for the next...
Literally.
Yeah, probably for the next 12 months.
Shit, I don't even know if I should waste my time now.
I put it in this order. That was Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill, Jack Nicholson.
Cesar Romero?
Definitely. He's after Jack Nicholson. Kevin Michael Richardson. And then Troy Baker.
Yes.
Where's Jared Leto? Oh, that's fucked up.
I just kept saying that the Joker was a misstep. I'm not even taking that personally. Like, it's not what I want. It is just not a good movie.
See, here's the thing. They were doing so well. Keeping it loose, Aquaman, Shazam, the right direction. But then they just do some shit like this. I mean, I knew the Joker was going to be a shit show. Because it's too fucking confusing.
Comic book landscape right now is open. Because Marvel has completed its journey.
And yes.
Now it's the ability to shape and mold a new universe, a new journey, a new set of movies. Just not this one.
You know what I would have rather seen right now? And this is going to sound real fucked up. I'd have rather seen that fucking Green Lantern with Tom Cruise than to watch this shit again.
Ooh.
Wait, Green Lantern with who?
Yeah, that's right. They were talking to Tom Cruise about playing fucking Hal Jordan. I would have rather seen that than to sit here and watch Joker again.
Ooh.
That's deep.
Dude, I've never been that big of a Green Lantern fan, so. And I love Tom Cruise.
It's not even
so.
The fact of not being a fan. It's just the fact that I feel like that literally would have been better than what I just sat through.
Ooh. Damn. Barry, do you agree?
That mummy movie was pretty bad. That's all I can think about. Oh, that hurts, Mike. I don't know what to say.
Maybe something's wrong with me. I'm just telling you. I still cannot for the life of me understand how someone raised this movie above a 5. Packy, love him to death. Motherfucker literally said 8 out of 10. I'm still trying to understand. Why? What was it?